Revelation 20 and verse 10. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. If you're glad you saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, John's right now, and he says, and the devil that deceived them, boy, he's still doing that this morning, ain't he? He's got a whole world deceived. You remember when he had you deceived? Had you going after things you had no business going after? Had you set on something that you never did catch? He said he deceived them. He was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. He shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, big ones and little ones. And the books was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank you for standing this morning. Today I tried to steal away and be sure what the Lord wanted me to use. There's a word that stood up off the page of my Bible in verse 15. And he said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That word, whosoever, is a broad word. Our Bible uses this word frequently, and I got to noticing whosoever. That means that God is no respecter of person. And we ought to thank God for that. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Now I want to ask you, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the book of life? I mean, do you know more than life yourself that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Because you see, at the end of life's way and at the judgment bar of God, this is all that's really going to matter. Because you see, the Bible said that the dead, small and great, stood before God. The books was opened. And they were judged out of those things. And hell delivered up them, and they were cast in the lake of fire. You've always heard hell's a bad place, and it is. But honey, let me tell you, the lake of fire is a terrible place. Hell's not the end of the story. Roman Catholic Church, they have some type of plan that when you die, you set out into a purgatory, a holding place. And if somebody can pray you in or pay your way in, then they can get you in. But Jesus said, you must be born again. And so I'll take what Jesus has to say. The whosoever, I'm glad this morning that word's in my Bible. I found it. It didn't take me long to find it again. God uses it a lot. In John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Here it is, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this word, whosoever, that's what we want to preach out of this morning. And whosoever. Now I want to say, according to John 3:16, we see there's a passage of whosoever. For God so loved. We think that this is such an elementary verse, but I'm going to tell you, this is a profound verse. that God so loved, we see the passage, it's amazing, that God would love something like me and you. God must be a wonderful, wonderful person. I mean, it's amazing that God so loved the world that this love looked out before ages began and said, I'm going to love somebody like him. And I'm going to love somebody like her. And I'm going to love somebody like you. That's amazing to me about the love of God. We hear it a lot, but you know, it only meant something to me one day when I realized that God really loved me. Some of you, you've never had a mom and daddy really that loved you. You've never had a husband or wife that really loved you. But I want to tell you about somebody today that really does love you. The Lord Jesus Christ really does love you. I believe that people that have never known this love. I was a grown man. Did I ever heard my daddy tell me that he loved me? I was a grown man. And Brother Tim, how that broke my heart and helped me feel good that my daddy finally said he loved me. I had a daddy that was tough. Brother Randall, I know in his own way that he did love me, but it really did help me when I found out he told me that he loved me. And it's amazing, he told me right before he died, and can I tell you, right before he died, he told us that he loved you. For God so loved the world. It's amazing to me about this passage of Scripture that we see that God so loved. In Ephesians 3 and verse number 1, here the Bible says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentile. He said, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. He said in verse number 8, unto me who am less than the least of all, so that's pretty low, ain't it? Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God? He said to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. From the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he says this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, isn't it amazing, even though what you've done, Christ loves you. Isn't it amazing, in spite of what all I did, Christ loved me. Matter of fact, we love Him because He first loved us. I notice in this world, the only people we really love is those that have loved us back. But isn't that amazing? When we knew nothing about how to love Christ, we knew nothing about anything, Christ loved us. That's amazing to me. And we see this. Well, how big is it? He said in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him, watch this, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages to come. Now what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we think or ask. There's nothing too hard for Him. I don't care what you're struggling with today. There's a Christ that loves you, that passes all understanding, that will forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've done it. I'm glad the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts today. Boy, I'm glad I found out about the love of God. And so we see this passage. But then on that verse of John 3:16, there's a plan. The Bible said not only for God so loved the world, but He gave. Now notice, those that you really love, you'll give them anything. Any of y'all got any grand youngins? Amen? I mean, it don't matter what they ask for. The sky's the limit. It's going to be amazing when my grandbaby can go to really talking and communicate what she's going to get out of her grandmother. It's amazing. But you know, I've noticed those that you really love, you give. And so here we see this plan of this whosoever in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want you to look real quickly this morning at verse number 8. He said this, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." He said, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us," or compels us, "because we judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all." You ought to underline that this morning. Some men preaching today don't believe that. Some men believe He only died for the selected few. But honey, my Bible says, Brother Randall, that He died for all. And I'm going to go to heaven lifting up that bloodstained banner that He died for all. If you go to hell in your sin, you'll go in spite that He died for you. He died for all. And that's amazing to me. Now, I really think about it sometime. I know in a big way we get emotional and we get excited and we get caught up in the scheme of things. And we say, "Well, Brother Adam, I'll die for you." I understand that. But Brother David, Brother Tim, when you really get to thinking about it, how many people would you really die for? How many would you, Brother Mike, really die for? It's amazing to me that He died for the likes of me. Let's just talk about me. It amazes me a man that I never knew died for me. And it amazes me that America wants to take and do something to the flag, those star-spangled banner, that men even gave their lives that we may be free and not appreciate what they've done for us in this country. But let's get back and let me get reeled back in on the theme. It amazes me Christ died for me. But I never know. Wouldn't that be something? Brother Wendell, I've only known Brother Wendell now a year or so. He got saved. I was thinking about you this morning. I'm glad God saved you. But I ain't known Brother Wendell long, but Brother Jerry, wouldn't it be something if somebody wrote me a letter and said, "Ken, Wendell died for you. I'd want to know something about Wendell. I'd want to know, Wendell, why that you, even though I never did know you, never did give you nothing, only talked bad about you, only did things that you wasn't pleased with, but in spite of myself, you died for me. That amazes me. Life is very precious. Life is very important. I don't know how long I'll live, but I know I'm going to lay this tabernacle down. But it amazes me that Christ had everything, but He died for me. And He died for you. He died. My daddy gave a lot. I remember trying to go out and ask my daddy, "Daddy, ain't got no money tonight. Could I have a little money?" I've seen my daddy, Brother Adam, open up his billfold and give me the last dollars that he had in his billfold. But you know something, Brother Gerald? Daddy didn't die for me. Now, if Wendell died for me, I'd want to know something about why he died for me. Why would somebody that I knew nothing about give their life for me? Must be some kind of special person. Must be a love there that I really never knew nothing about. Didn't he say, "As for Christ's sake hath loved you and forgiven you, forgive one another"? The plan he gave. He said one died for all, then we're all dead. And then he died for all, that they which should live, watch this, Christian, not henceforth live to themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Hey, we that are saved by the grace of God have been born again. We ought not be living to ourselves, but be living to Him. Living to Him. He ought to be everything. The world will tell you, now listen, don't get too carried away about this religion. Amen. See, the world's religious, big difference in religion and salvation. Amen. I mean, America's religious. Big difference in being born again. The plan He gave. Isn't that something that from henceforth we know in verse 16 that no man after the flesh, yet though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we Him no more. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become anew. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That word means linking. He says when God died for us and when we believed in Christ, Christ brought us into the fellowship with God. Jesus is not some way. He's not a way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. America don't have a lot of issues talking about God. But when you say Jesus, you're saying something specific. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way. No other way. If you're going to heaven, you're not going there because you're a good person. You're not even going there because you come to church. If you're going to heaven, you're going because you've trusted in the work of Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross. You believed in Him. You repented of your sins. And you're leaving that way this morning. You must be born again. All roads don't lead to heaven. I'm glad I met somebody that knows the difference. The passage, the plan. But then the passion. Watch this in this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's a passion there with that whosoever. A great passion in Romans 5 and verse number 8. I want to ask you this morning. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, there's a passion. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. There was a passion behind this whosoever. The passion was that He would give His only begotten Son. It's easy for me to give you something if I got something left. Matter of fact, you can always judge the gift by what you got left. But He gave His only begotten Son. Brother Adam, wouldn't it be amazing if you gave Blayton, you put him on a cross for me and for these people. That's the only child y'all got. And you let him die for the likes of me. And then we said, no, we'll not take your gift. We'll not take your way. I wonder how you'd look at me judgment day. You say, Ken Bowman, I've done all for you, son, I could do for you. You could have been saved, but you rejected the greatest gift I ever had to give. You say, you don't have to die and go to hell. Everybody that's in hell this morning, they ain't got to be there. Jesus is our way out. And this is what the devil will say. Well, don't get carried away about what that preacher's saying now. Don't get carried away about this Jesus thing. Now you know if you live, you know if you try to straighten up and do right. Now you know God's going to be just and God's going to let you. No, He ain't, friend. He's going to put you in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You better thank the Lord one day God had an old preacher get up and tell you about heaven and how to get out of hell. You ought to thank God for that. I remember day old Brother Felton nailed right there at me. I said, son, what you need? He said, preacher, I'm going to hell. See, when you see you're going to hell, you can do something about it. God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost come on me and showed me I was going to hell. There's a passion behind this thing. And what great passion we ought to have for Christ. But when that choir gets up to sing, we ought to say, glory to God, hallelujah. Man, our congregation turns to that hymn book, we ought to sing out our hearts, thank you, Lord Jesus. When that man of God preaches, we ought to say, amen, preacher, that's exactly right. Amen. Thank God, I heard my little old grandbaby this morning. I got up, she said, amen. Don't tell me it don't matter where you raise your young. Don't you tell me that you only hurting yourself. There's a passion behind this. Brother Mike, for God so... Did y'all boys know something? If I was the only one ever that was born in this world, God would have still give Jesus on a cross that I could go. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. Somebody died for me that I never knowed. There's a passion closing. There's not only the passion, but there's a plea. In Romans chapter number 10, there's a plea on this whosoever. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. You got to do something about this love. You say, well, preacher, you know, all I got to do is just believe. No, I don't want to be that easy about it. Because the Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. But it's something about this word believe, and I want to show you what it means. In Romans chapter number 10, and verse number 9, I want you to notice what it says. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and here it is, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what I'm afraid of? A lot of people's got a head knowledge of Jesus, but no heart knowledge about Jesus. When Jesus gets in your heart, buddy, you'll do something. Boy, I got a lot of illustrations this morning. They ain't no finer kids than what we got. I got back from the Philippines, and this one right here come up to me and said, Brother Ken, I've been praying for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This kid and this kid had some come up and grab me by the leg and said, hey, preacher, these young'uns have got my heart. And it makes me do something. If I just got a head knowledge, I'm not going to do much. But buddy, if my heart changes, you see, there's a plea. Whosoever believes, he said, you know what? He said in verse number 12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Thank God for that. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, I'm glad I found that. You know, a lot of people don't get saved. They think they've done too much for God to forgive them. But you know something? You can't do too much for God to forgive you. You can just do it too long. Well, preacher, how long's that? That's you die like that. I don't care what you've done, friend. God can forgive you. Ma'am, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. There's time to call upon the Lord this morning, and you ought to call upon His holy name to save you and give you a home in heaven. Sir, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you are, how long you've been doing it. I'm just telling you, there's a cross at Calvary that says, come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the cross. He changes lives. Let me share if you can. He changes men. There's a plea, whosoever believeth in Him. And then there's a promise. He shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I'm glad I've got that promise this morning. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 8, he said, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, and it is. Knowing this, the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers and liars and perjured persons, if there be any other thing that's contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which hath committed to my trust. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now I want to tell you, if He saved the chief, that word means the greatest. If He saved the chief, He can save everybody this morning. I wonder how many people's walked out of the church because pride got them. They knew that they ought to be saved. And really down in their heart, they wanted to be saved, but pride got them. Pride said, I've got time. Pride said, I'll do it at a more convenient time. It just ain't real convenient today. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow, ma'am. Sir, you may not have tomorrow. Salvation's too long to be wrong. You better know without a shadow of a doubt you're saved. You're ready to go to heaven by the blood of Christ and no other way. Now, I want to wrap this sermon up this way, and it's what I want to say this morning. Heaven's a wonderful place. Are you going? Hell's a terrible place. Are you going? You don't have to go. You ain't got to go. If you trust the Lord Jesus, He'd save you this morning, but you're going to have to trust Him. In your heart, your own way, you're going to have to trust the Lord to save you. You're going to have to believe in Him and call upon Him. And the Bible said if we'd do that with all of our heart, He would save us. Salvation's really so simple. But you got to believe it. You got to believe with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I'm glad I know I'm saved. There's nothing no greater than to know. Some of you a year or so ago, you didn't know. But you ought to thank God you do this morning. If I had people stand around this church house that's been saved, I guarantee you most of them would stand, people would look and say, I'd have never thought that. Matter of fact, the class reunion got back and I got saved and called to preach. Those people shook their head. He's what? Say that again. He what? And then this what a bunch of them said, it won't last. Brother Wendell, you're sort of like Brother John. The Lord saved you later in life, but I'm glad He saved you. Brother Randall, it ceases to amaze me what we've seen by God, what He can do. People that everybody else had give up on, they got to say. They got to say. You just look around what God's done here. Don't tell me God can't. Don't tell me God won't. It's whether if you want Him to or not. Do you want him to? Do you want to be saved? Well, preacher, how do I get saved? How can I? Well, let me ask you something. Are you troubled about where you're going? You feel God pulling at you, God dealing with you about. I mean, you can be out of this church house and God's a deal. You lay down and you think about dying. You get up, get in your car, you go, you think about dying. It's all just thinking about all the time. Where am I going? Is God a dealing with you this morning? I think so. I can feel it in our church. If you want to be saved, you can come. You got to step out in faith and trust Christ. Would you come this morning to an old-fashioned altar and call upon somebody that loves you? Similar like this, Lord Jesus, save me. God, I'm coming with all of my heart. Forgive me of my sins and save me, Lord. Are you willing to do that? Brother David, what's your number this morning?